Okay,
folks, Falchek Gaskin, you are not welcome all here tonight for our AHC meeting. I'm standing again for Leanne. Leanne is, I was saying, say the next couple of days, if it goes well, she'll have a wee baby on the way. So I'd like to wish Leanne and the hubby, Niall, all the best. Is there any apologies? I think we'll apology for Councillor McKeb and anybody else.
And Councillor Gallagher, Hugh Gallagher. And also in relation to if it would be possible to send a card or flowers where possible when the baby arrives, if that would be possible from the committee. Thank you.
That sounds good, Terry. Okay, we'll get her off and going here. Any declarations of interest at all, folks? No. I need my messenger on here. Hold on. There you go.
None from officers, Chair.
That's grand. Okay, we have number three. We have the action sheet arising from the AHC committee meeting held on the 18th of January. Everybody happy enough? Yeah. Okay. We have a motion from Councillor McMurray. Number four, outdoor recreation. Andy, you want to take it away?
Yep. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Gibson put up a question there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mark. Go ahead. I didn't see you there.
You're too fast. You're a flying machine there, Chair. Hold on there. You're going too fast for us. Sorry. Can I say regarding item 206, Chair? Sorry, yeah. I'm getting interference coming through there. Can you get that? That's a bit better now. Item number 206 in action, sir.
That was pretty bad, Mark. I can hardly pick you up. You're like somebody from guys of internet.
That's
great, Mark.
That's no good now, no.
That's bad there, yeah, fair away.
Sorry, just come in there, just gone to blazing and we're nearly ruined everything. So item 206, Chair, on the action sheet, suicide down to zero, the initiative that's been a huge success there last year. Could I make a proposal, Chair, to double the financial call from 10k to 20k, Chair? I believe I have the backing, the seconded by Councillor Barr O'Mara. I was talking to him there a couple of weeks ago regarding the situation. But it is just, you know, in the world that we're living in now, Chair, and the Suicide Down to Zero initiative was hugely successful even before COVID really struck. There was a huge intake of applicants, and the 10k was used up very quickly, and it was used within our community. Fantastic initiatives availed of it, so I think it's only right if we could in any way double it, because I know it'll be gobbled up, it'll be used up, and we need it now more than ever. We need these initiatives and these community groups to continue to roll out with these fantastic initiatives, you know.
Yeah. Everybody happy with that, folks? I've no problems with that myself now.
Good. Chair. I'm happy enough.
Chair, if I could just come in on that, then yeah, we'll seek to add that to the estimates. And I would just remind members that the training has been arranged and there's a number of dates. If you can just ask that you register your interest, bear with me. The dates are, there's three sessions, 9th of March, 18th of March, and 25th of March. There's three-hour sessions. So if you could go back to Sir Louise Taggart and indicate what one you'd be able to attend, I'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, I would sort of urge most councillors to do that. Now, I'm registered myself, so it could be a good enough programme, you know. Okay, Councillor Casey, Charlie, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Gerard. It seems to have corrected itself now. I could see Jim, one of the press members, here on the screen for a minute or two. I was wondering how that was possible. Not that I don't like Jim, he's a good guy, but I don't think he should...
Jim seemed to sign in twice for some reason, and one of them his camera's on, but he's off now. I've contacted him, and he's off again, so he's only on the once.
Right.
All sorted.
Is that your question, Charlie? Was it?
That was it, Chair. Yeah.
Yes, that was. Okay, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Listen, I'm not sure if this is the best place to point to raise this, but I don't see any other point where I can. It was just, there was a bit of an incident last week in Clannery Avenue there, just some of the pictures that I saw, there was, it looked as if there was a bit of antisocial behaviour took place in the leisure centre grounds, from what I was shown. I was just wondering, have officials had any discussions with the police on this issue? Because I know that the police were present, and there was some press on the matter as well. So it's just to see if there was any discussions with the police, and is there any ways of improving security around the grounds, you know, if that is the case.
You want to take that, Michael, or?
I could probably come in easier. Yeah, so thank you, Councillor Taylor. You might be aware of some of the, I suppose, Facebook posts and stuff like that. We have been working very closely with, I suppose, members of the DEA, the PSNI, the PCSP, and other community representatives regarding the antisocial behaviour, I suppose, not just last weekend, but over the last few months in the area. I suppose we are trying to put provisions in place about how we can address that and, you know, collectively and collaboratively working with all those members of the community. But so, yes, we have been in touch and we're sort of moving forward on how we can, I suppose, prevent it going forward. So, albeit we had a pretty good weekend over the weekend just past, didn't have any real incidents and those sorts of things. So,
yeah.
Hope that clarifies that.
Yeah, Chair, listen, I know it's not obviously easy, particularly given the access, you know, that there is to the grounds, but it's just to make sure we were in contact with the police and the relevant authorities regarding it. So thank you.
Okay, David. Barra, did you just want to second that wee thing of motion of Mark, did you?
Yeah, no, I'm just happy, surely, to second. And just as Mark has said, you know, the money will absolutely fly out. Once community groups start getting behind this here and realising that there's money available for training and that, you know, I suppose there's not one community, I don't want to go over the hash again, but there's not one community wouldn't have been affected by this issue. So, yeah, more than happy to second Mark's proposal.
Brilliant, Bart. Okay, that takes us on to number four here. Andy, I'll let you in now. This is the most...
Chair, sorry for cutting across here. Just in relation to, I would like to fully endorse what Mark and Barra have mentioned. I think in relation to suicide down to zero, I think the proposal is to be very much welcomed and we're supporting it. But again, thank you very much.
All right, Terry. All right, Andy, we'll get to you now.
Chair, I think Councillor Malone, I remember your chat, is Councillor Malone looking at the question there as well? So I know how awkward it can be sometimes with the old chat thing, Councillor Hare, so I do apologise.
No, go ahead, Andy, I'm coming off.
Okay, no worries. I'll crack on then.
Yeah, turn away.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Chair, thank you. I'll read the motion title as is. You know, in light of the increase on visitors accessing outdoor amenities which are prevalent in our district, this council shall, within its structures, create a group regarding outdoor recreation within this district. The primary objective of this group will be manage, promote and educate regarding outdoor education, recreation within this district. This will be a constituted group within council. Its makeup will be representative of both statutory and voluntary sector agencies, as well as those who have a remit for development and management of outdoor recreation. Communication will be made in the first instance with national government bodies and agencies to ascertain what role councils in other areas of Ireland, Britain and Europe have had in positively managing access and recreation with outdoor spaces. So if I could just speak briefly to it, Chair, you know, I mean, you know, walkers, runners, outdoor swimmers, climbers, kayakers, cyclists, and there's plenty of other subgenres or activities that I probably don't have mentioned that sort of make up outdoor recreation. I think the officer's report, sort of mentions it, and it's a sort of difficult thing to define, but for me it's sort of any way of getting physically active and physically engaged in the outdoors which isn't confined to the whitewashed lines of a sports pitch. Many of the individuals taking part do not need access to some of our leisure centres, or clubs as such, but that does not mean that we cannot or do not need to accommodate them. How best we as a council can facilitate the development of these clubs and association, which do not always have the same infrastructure development as some of our more traditional sporting clubs have. I'm sure we've all seen COVID-19 and the ensuing lockdown has redefined many a personal relationship and connection with the outdoors. I think this is an inherently a good thing. Moran Heritage Trust will document a threefold increase in numbers accessing the hills over the spring and continued into the summer. A survey and a consultation and a report by Outdoor Recreation Northern Ireland, it should note that 51% of Northern Ireland residents expect to spend more time in the outdoors in the future. And, you know, as we've all seen, this is coming to pass. And again, I'll not need to go over it, but, you know, again, there's consequences of this. You know, Moran Mountain Rescue Team, you know, have seen their responses and their involvement to rescues increasing. So this is something I think, you know, it's really, really important, as well as some of the issues regarding parking and access, you know, and bottlenecks within sort of our more rural areas. Within this area, you know, we have some of the leading lights regarding, you know, outdoor recreation. You know, we have a high concentration of statutory voluntary and private outdoor centres and providers, including the National Outdoor Centre within our district. And I think it's really important that, given the proven the popularity of the outdoors, we should be using this knowledge contained within our district to see how we can best facilitate and encourage our own residents and how they interact with the outdoors, as well as the visitors to our district. As well as this, we should be investigating whether, as a council, we can facilitate for schemes when restrictions ease, which will allow people to meet again while partaking in outdoor recreation, which will go some way to helping our physical and mental recovery from this pandemic. And as a council, we need to put ourselves in the best position and potentially to draw down funding. I think that, you know, could be released in the aftermath of all this. You know, council has a stated aim to be an outdoor capital, and again, this is a good thing. And I think, you know, as we look across how we've implemented this across the board, for example, we've got the mountain bike trails. You know, I mean, see how popular these are. You couldn't buy a bike during lockdown, never mind new or second hand. So, you know, how we invest in these and how we evolve these and develop and maintain them, it needs to be really important. And look at the community walking trails that we've implemented. And again, you know, one only has to go up to some of the ones. I know Slade Croob's been very lucky to get these sort of started, but, you know, you only have to go there and see how popular they are and what a boon they've been for the lockdown. And also that has led to other communities wanting to open up their trails, and maybe, you know, there's a lot of scoping exercises being going on. And as well as that, we have the potentially significant climbing facility at Murhill Quarry. Council has organised and facilitated interesting meetings throughout the summer, and they've been somewhat ad hoc, but they've also been really well received. But I just think we really need a more permanent structure to how this is, to head off these issues as they arise, and also maybe heading and, you know, preventing the issues arriving in the first place. You know, ultimately we have all the issues a national park would have, but we don't have some of the tools at our disposal to respond to them. And, you know, unmanaged responses will continue to be reactionary and possibly fail to meet the needs and requirements of both visitors and residents alike. But again, matters of the environment too. You know, there's not a weekend that goes by where we are not confronted by either in person or in social media some of the issues that, you know, regarding litter. There's erosion, you know, the footfall in the hills is causing big issues, and also contamination in certain areas. I mean, Castlewellan Lake seems to be in a certain no man's land of responsibility with the blue-green algae, and this is going to impact on how we can offer recreation in our district. Now, luckily, we have a really good philosophy for this. We've got Leave No Trace, and it's being embedded within council. But it would be great, again, to have a structure that really put it to the first, you know, foremost of what we do and how we do it when it comes to things outdoors. As well, you know, coming further down the line, there's a DARA-sponsored bill regarding the environment, and it'd be great, you know, if we could put some of these things in the motion and, to really influence that bill, and, you know, maybe we could be held as best practice in this regard, and that'd be fantastic. And, you know, there's other agencies out there, as I've touched on as well, but, you know, there are other agencies, and again, now I think is the time to really, you know, to sort of put these agencies to the forefront with how we, as a council, a corporate body, position ourselves regarding outdoor recreation in the district. And I would just make one final point. You know, we've seen the last 9 or 12 months, you know, the draw of the outdoors, And the shortfalls have been our infrastructure. But we have such a great resource. We have such a great product. We have such a wonderful amenity with which we can share. But again, just to councillors, at no point in that have I heard anybody begrudge the fact that there's not a cable car ride up halfway up the hill in Donard Forest. But anyway, I'll finish on that point, Chair. Thank you for indulging me. And thank you for the officer's report as well. Thank you, Chair.
All right, Andy, you covered that well. Now, Barra, you're second that. I know Joan's coming in my question there.
Yeah, happy to second as well. And it's something that's very close to my heart as well as many other councillors. I know whenever we were all at school, we had the opportunity to do a lot of outdoor recreation, which is something that's sorely missing from many primary school children's experiences at the minute. We got opportunities to go to Shannock Moor and got opportunities to go to Killowen. And you know, you learned all about the great outdoors and climbing and bouldering and whitewater rafting and the whole lot of it. So when I read through Andy's motion, and that's the angle that I'm coming from, being a teacher as well, I'd love to see school children getting the opportunity to avail of the great outdoors more often, get them away from computer screens and that. So look, we're more than happy to support Andy's endeavours in this and his motion. So why who, Andy?
Very good. John, and then Councillor Taylor.
Thanks very much, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Did Councillor Malone want in before that? Sorry, Councillor Traynor.
Yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, thank you.
Gavin, you're not coming up here. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I'm just inquiring about the ongoing illegal dumping throughout the district and with regards to what actions have been taken by Environmental Health. Last Monday, I reported ongoing dumping on Catherine Street by residents, and the local papers carry the story. Today, a number of volunteers from the area had to go over and clean it themselves now, but nappies with food. Environmental Health are going to have to contact these landlords because the residents are treating people with contempt, so somebody's going to have to deal with it. So I'm now putting it on record. This is not the responsibility of the cleansing and refuge staff who do a tremendous job. They're instructed what to do. This book stops with Environmental Health. They're not following up. They didn't follow it up. I contacted them last Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
And can I come in there, Councillor Malone? We're on about this motion here. I think that's you're sort of drifting away from Andy's motion here. We'll take this motion first, see what the crack is.
Right.
John Traynor, do you want to come in, please?
Thanks very much, Chair. I suppose, first of all, thank you, Andrew, for bringing the motion. I suppose as a party, we'd be fully supportive of the principle of the motion. Anything that will enhance how people can utilise our outdoor amenities is very much to be welcomed. I suppose I do have some slight concerns, and this is process rather than the actual motion itself. So it's not against the motion, but it would have worries around duplication. And I think, as Andy's maybe touched on in his motion and in his speaking notes, there are a number of different aspects of council that would take to do with outdoor recreation. And I think if we are trying to push for having a working group, we would have to be careful that we don't duplicate across the council, because we could end up then giving officers double the work. And we have to be very conscious that there are many projects that officers are invested in. So it's just really a case of around that idea of duplication and ensure we don't end up, creating more. And if it is a case of just tying things together, you know, fully supportive of that, you know, there has to be some sort of vision around how we better utilise our outdoor amenities, especially for outdoor recreation. And whilst I might look like it, I am an avid supporter of the outdoors, and I would be very much involved in the outdoors. Andy would know himself. So, you know, I do very much welcome this motion. Just hope that, you know, we don't end up in a situation where there's a lot of duplication.
Okay, Councillor Traynor. Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Just what I want to say, obviously, I'm very, very supportive of this motion brought forward by Councillor McMurray, and I know that he's very passionate about this subject. He lives and breathes the great outdoors. It's part of his day job, and I know that he is very passionate about trying to encourage others to enjoy all that we have around us here. And certainly, I suppose, even during lockdown, it's something that more and more people have, you know, appreciated. I suppose even myself, you know, it's probably sometimes when you get
you get busy with councils and the issues and different things, you don't, you know, appreciate these things. You don't take the time to appreciate what's around us. And, you know, the more that we can encourage people to use our great outdoors, and that it has obviously health benefits as well to the general public. And it's important that we as a council do all that we can to promote that. And certainly what Andy's proposing here, I think would allow more coordination in that regard. So there's a job of work to be done, obviously, for officials in this to bring back to the, you know, the Active and Healthy Communities Committee for further discussion. But certainly I think this is a good positive step in the right direction, and hopefully we can do this sooner rather than later. So, you know, fully supportive of it, Andy, and thanks for bringing us forward tonight.
Okay, David. Councillor Gibbons, same.
Just the same. Well, it's really just it's a fully supportive of the motion. Fantastic motion, Andy. Very well spoken. You're an expert in it, so you can listen to you all night. You were very good. So fair play to you. And this is really a different subject, but it's under the same umbrella. Just very quickly. And I think Barra could be welcome in this as well. When it comes to up in Kilbroney Park, there is a huge big barbecue area that's 90% of the time it's not used through the year. And I would love if we could contact or correspond with ART regarding, well, asking if we could open it up to primary schools for outdoor learning, secondary schools, different community groups, nurseries. It's a fantastic, I took a few photographs and sent them to Michelle Boyle, and it's a fantastic area, but it's just underutilised. It's not used through the year, and given the time that's in it, I think it would be a fantastic opportunity to use it, open it up for the public and for different groups. So if we could correspond with the RT, if at all possible, Paul, if that's down your street, or if it's maybe Meg Lipset that could do that.
Okay, that would be an ERT kind of a motion then, Mark, wouldn't it?
It would be an ERT motion, but can we send any correspondence ourselves as AHC committee that we would be interested in this happening?
Yeah.
Chair, I'll just give it there. Yeah, I'm quite happy to do that. I will contact the director tomorrow, and I'll discuss it with him, raise that matter with him, if you're okay with it.
Thank you, Megan.
That's grand. Good one, Mark. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And on behalf of DUP, I would also like to thank Councillor McMurray for bringing this motion forward. I think it's a good motion in that. And it's something that, you know, once it's passed and the officers go away and do a bit of work on it, it can be rolled out right across the district, because there is areas, for example, in my own Rowallan area there, we have Delamont Country Park and that there. Now, in there, I'm a great believer that the likes of Delamont and that can be enhanced. Some of the proposals there that Councillor McMurray has stated would fall nicely within that there, so it would, because we have in the past talked about the Steamboat Quay there in Downpatrick, linking it up with Delamont Park, which means you can walk right through from Downpatrick right into Delamont, so you can along the shore head there, and that, so it is welcomed, so it is. And just one other point, and I put it on there in relation to what Councillor Malone had said. Totally support him in what he said about the fly tipping and that. But it would have to go to the neighbourhood services and that, because I read a piece last week in our local paper that we're the worst district out of the 11 for fly tipping. So it's something that needs to be dealt with, but at neighbourhood services.
Thanks, Willie. Thanks, sir.
Chair, if I could just come in on that, it's not an environmental, it's the enforcement officers deal with that, but I would caution that there's very little responsibility will lie with the landlord if they provide their tenant with bins as to how the tenant uses those bins. But it's not environmental health. The complaints are made by our reception area, but it's the neighbourhood services enforcement officers who deal with those complaints on environmental health. But I'll chase that up for you, Gavin, in the morning to see what's happened with that.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Happy enough with that, Gavin, are you?
Thanks, sir.
Okay, not for that. Okay, I think that brings us on to the...
Chair, can I just sum up there, Chair?
Sorry, Andy. Sorry.
Right. No, sorry. No, listen, it's difficult job in the hot seat, so listen, you're, you apologize.
iPads and phones and laptops, I don't know, I'm coming or going at times, you know that, but go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank all the councillors for being so supportive. You know, just to sort of deal with them one by one. I mean, Councillor O'Murray, again, as a teacher yourself, you know how important the personal development of the young person can take through the outdoors, and you know all the relationship building that goes with it. So, I mean, yes, definitely. And it'd be good to see how we as a district can maybe support, you know, schools and youth groups and whatever. Again, Councillor Trainor, you're quite right. This is quite a body of work, you know what I mean? And in some ways, it is quite right that it's probably bigger than AHC, but in that said, I'm very glad that it's fallen to AHC, because I know the sterling work that they've done in the past regards community trails and the like. So it's really, really good. Well, yes, Councillor Gibbons, the forest schools super, super important. I've got one of my own little forest school pupils here beside me now, so I do. It's so important getting young people out and getting young people engaged. Even just it just clears their head so much. But yes, no, thank you very much. I say it's a great body of work, and it won't be a quick fix. I do thank you, Chair and Councillors. Cheers, my bye.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Okay, we'll move on to the piece for local action plan.
Okay, Chair, that's me. Sorry, it was remiss of me. The apologies at the beginning, I should have put an apology in for Janine Hill, who can't be here this evening, so I'm taking her reports this evening, Chair. This is the standard Peace Corps partnership report on the recommendations arising out of their most recent meeting. I don't intend to go through the recommendations, but if the recommendation is that the committee agree to them, as set out in 2.1.
Okay, Councillor Andrews, you're proposing.
Only two happy to propose. Thank you.
Bar a second it.
Yep, second, yeah.
Okay. Okay, this brings us on to number six, the higher charges for community centres. That is yourself, Michael.
Yep, thank you, Chair. That's me again. Yeah, Chair, the purpose of this report is to set out how we propose to deal with charges for the community facilities next year, and also the insurance, which the committee has debated in the past. So what we're proposing, given the current restrictions that we're facing with COVID and all of the other issues that groups are undergoing at the minute, that we maintain the higher charges at the pricing in the current financial year. So for the next financial year, we would see no increase in any of the prices for community facilities, and that we will adopt a tiered insurance level approach for hires of the facilities. Members will recall this is around the insurers insisting that we had to move, community groups had to move from £5 million public liability to £10 million. And obviously that put an increased cost onto certain community associations. So through ongoing discussions with our insurers, we have managed to get them to agree to a tiered system, which would see the majority of community groups not going into that £10 million category. And that will be reserved for those higher risk type of activities, which are listed in the report, in the appendices to the report. So we are recommending that we maintain the higher charges at this year's prices, and that we bring in the tiered insurance approach.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Barry, you have a proposal and questioning.
Yeah, and my question was sort of answered by Michael in his presentation there. It was just the tiered approach to it should favour some of the smaller community centres and that. So happy to propose.
Okay, that's proposed by Barra and second by Councillor Thruner. Okay. That brings us on to number seven. The service legal agreement with the Southern Regional College and Southern Eastern Regional College. That's yourself, Michael, again.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, that's me again. This is to agree to us formalising the working relationship, very close working relationship we have with both regional colleges in the district. Members will be aware that The colleges hire our rooms and run their own training in there. They also use our rooms to carry out training on our behalf, quite often through neighbourhood renewal, peace and good relations. So what we're suggesting is that we formalise that through a service level agreement over a 3-year period, which will forge closer links between ourselves and the two colleges in the district. So that's the recommendation, Chair, that we have a 3-year service level agreement with the two colleges.
Okay. So I need a proposal and second for that. Councillor Andrews proposing.
Councillor Trainor proposed, Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Trainor seconded.
Apologies. Councillor Andrews isn't a committee member.
Is Terry not a committee member? Okay.
As far as I know, I am, but it was nominated. Donna, I think I've been on ASC.
Apologies, Councillor Andrews.
Don't worry about it. You're okay. It's just one of those days. It's Monday blues.
It's okay. All right, Terry, you're with us.
That's it. I'm with the gang.
No bother. Okay, this brings us on to number 8, isn't it? This is the community facility strategy.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. That's me again, Chair. Thank you. Members will recall that back in August 2018, the Council agreed to develop a community facility strategy to identify gaps and make provisions for what the future would look like in terms of community facilities right across the district, how those are managed, how many we would need, etc. Obviously, with COVID-19, we have had to postpone that or stall it for the last year, pretty much. And we are suggesting that we postpone any further development of that probably until the end of the summer, early autumn, until we understand how in hopefully a post-COVID-19 world will look and what that means in terms of how community facilities should be run in the future. So it's not that we are saying we're not going to do it. We're just saying I think it makes sense at this point to postpone it until later on in the year, and we'll bring a further report back at that stage, Chair.
Okay, Michael. Councillor O'Mara is proposing it. Councillor Turner is seconding it, plus he's a question as well.
Jerry, just a wee second, just in the proposal of it. I think, Michael, when this was explored at the start, we were probably at a time when community associations and community groups weren't as active as they are now. And perversely, it has taken the COVID crisis to really inspire community groups to get up and get working and get involved in the community. So we've probably, unbeknownst to ourselves, identified all these gaps that are potentially appearing in right across our different DEAs. So look, I'm happy to propose that we put the block on this for, you said, maybe to the end of the summer or the autumn, that at the very latest this time next year, at the February meeting next year, that we revisit this issue and see where are we at now, what is the need for this community facility strategy now that we know so much more about our community capacity. All right, happy to propose.
Okay. Councillor Trainor?
Yeah, happy to second, Chair, and I suppose Michael probably answered the question whenever he outlined when the postponement would be until. I suppose one of the things we have to be conscious of, that this has to remain as I suppose it's a living policy, whereby it'll have to adapt whenever there are problems that arise in the future. So I think it's only ways that we do then put the brakes on now, and we allow that time to consider, you know, how it needs to be adapted to meet the needs coming out of the pandemic, I suppose. So, you know, more than happy to second that, Chair.
Okay, thanks, folks. Okay, brings us on to number 9, the Community Coordination Hub. That's yourself, Michael, again.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This leads on nicely from the previous report. Members will be aware that the main way we've been supporting communities throughout the COVID pandemic has been through the Community Coordination Hub. And these are the standard reports that come before the committee with the action sheet attached for the last number of meetings. We just want the members to approve those actions as set out in the appendix.
Okay. Okay, have a proposal and seconder, folks. Okay, that's proposed by Councillor Andrews, second by Councillor McMurray. All right, number 10 here now. It's the DFC Third Faraj COVID-19 Community Support Funding. Yourself again, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This is about how we're supporting the communities, or how we're using the department's money to support the communities throughout this pandemic, and now that we're into the third tranche of DFC funding. This funding is £250,000 provided by the Department of Communities, as I said, and we are going to proposing that we distribute that through the community coordination hub that we talked about in the previous report, which is our main community planning vehicle throughout COVID-19, and has been set up with the Confederation of Community Groups, County Down Rural Community Network, and the Community Advice Newry Morning Down, who represent the Council's Community Planning Strategic Stakeholder Forum, which represent the majority of community groups right across the district. So the two trusts are on that as well. As you'll be aware, there's a number of staff from across all the departments in the council that sit on that. And we also bring other groups in as and when we need them. So this is how we've dealt with the funding in the previous two tranches, Chair. So we intend to distribute it through that coordination hub, which has a closer link to the community groups on the ground, and we'll be able to act much more quickly than perhaps the council would through a standard financial assistance call. So that's the recommendation, Chair.
It's Grant. Just need a proposer and seconder. Councillor Walker and proposed it. Myself seconded. Okay, it brings us on to number 11, the DA area forum report updates. Everybody okay with that?
Yep, Chair, that's okay. Again, just a standard report from the DAs from the Mourns and Downpatrick. Their action sheets are attached.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Do you need a proposal and second that, don't we?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, proposed by Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Thuner. Okay, it brings us on to number 12, folks. It's the place strategy update. Paul, I think that's your department, isn't it?
That's right. Thank you, Chair. Members be aware of the Council's play strategy, which was agreed in 2017, and I suppose during that period of time, you know, we've invested significantly in the play areas of the district. This report essentially relates to the 2021 program for the play strategy, which is, I suppose, is coming into its final years. And you'll see listed in the recommendation the projects that we're looking to progress for 2021-22. And that's the recommendation of the report for approval.
Okay, thanks, Paul. We have a question from Councillor Mason.
Thanks very much, Chair. Yeah, look, it's fantastic, and obviously being a wee bit parochial, I'm specifically talking about the new build in Deconnacht. Deconnacht, the community, has been left wanting for a play park for many, many years, so it's absolutely fantastic news. Also as well, I just note, and I know it's Councillor Andrews will probably allude to it as well, the Hillfoot parks in Ballinahinch, Hillfoot Crescent, have been badly needing an upgrade with it's such a huge built up area, so I know it's going to be really welcomed by that community there. And also just to mention the play park on the Downs Road, the upgrade of it, you know, hopefully to make it into like a flagship park that can be enjoyed not just by the locals but so many visitors and tourists that flock to that area. So it's a really, really positive for the district for that upgrade. I know that the consultation has taken place on it as well, but I'd really like to just, I've been contacted personally by a number of parents with children with disabled needs, and to specifically look at that, and not just the standard. I know that there's swings and things like that are designed for those in wheelchairs, but it's specific for pushing a wheelchair directly onto it, as opposed to having to lift somebody out onto the swing. That's just something I've been personally contacted about. I'd also just like to point out that there are some upgrades. Obviously, I know that everything can't be done in one go, but I really like some of the rural areas that have been left out of it. I know specifically Leitrim Play Park, there's bits and pieces of work that need done in there. And there's obviously some rural communities who are still left wanting for a play park, again, being parochial in Loughlin Island here. And I really would like that they be taken into consideration when this comes around again. But more than happy to propose this strategy. So thanks.
Okay, thanks, Cathy. Councillor Andrews.
I'm getting like a self chair. I'm getting used to all these buttons and clicks and mute or unmute. Well, anyhow, I allude to Cathy there. I'm only too happy to second the paper and the recommendations, and I do welcome the rollout. I know, as ASC members, a lot of us have been working hard over the past term to get the play strategy rolled out, and it's good to see a lot of areas that they didn't have before getting state-of-the-art play parks. And I do welcome the proposals that are outlined in the space, as I say, with Hillfoot. I know I've been working with people in Hillfoot and Ballinahinch, and of course Darragh Cross, like other areas for many years that have had no play park facilities, but now they're very much online for completion despite the pandemic. So I would like to thank everybody in the directorate and for their help and support in making sure that this all is going to become a reality. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. Councillor Turner.
Thanks, Sharon. I'm not one to complain because, well, first of all, obviously in Downpatrick there was a couple of good new play parks that we received in Caliph and in Clark, and obviously the people in those areas would be very much appreciative of it. The problem that I'm starting to see arise is that we're going to have, and I'm sure officers will understand this, there's a number of consolidations that are obviously being left almost to the final year in Downpatrick, and that will cause some major concerns and disruptions possibly. To young people being able to access those play facilities. And I suppose that the two major consolidation projects are, obviously there was identified at Knocknashinna at Fountain Court. There was Bridge Street, there was also Marion Park. And then the second project was for Lindisfarne Model Farm. And I suppose that would take into consideration the new play park as well that was built beside the council facilities. So I'm just concerned that we have so many consolidations happening possibly in the final year, and is there maybe a way of maybe, I suppose, eking that out a bit more so that they wouldn't be maybe close together, because as I say, it'll create a lot of disruption for people, for local people there. So Chair, just hopefully officers can take those points on board.
No problem, John. I'll take a few more questions and I'll let Paul answer on it. Are you happy enough with that, Paul? Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you. Yeah, again, look, and I think the play strategy is a brilliant idea, and I'm wondering how we might open up the opportunity for more rural areas to be added to the play strategy or play areas. I was wondering, it's been made known to us that there has been an underspend in DERA. And since being aware of this, there is the underspend. Since we've made aware of the underspend, myself and my party colleague, Councillor Roisin Harrell, explored bidding for additional funding through the LAG. DERA responded, stating that the LAG wouldn't have the mechanisms to deliver, and that it should come from other areas within the council. So for that reason, I feel it would be worthwhile in AHC here to maybe bid for that additional funding if we could, and then that would open up, as I say, the opportunities for more rural areas to be added onto the play strategy.
Sure, sorry, David Taylor, something happened there. I don't know, I froze, the thing froze on me, the meeting. So just I'm in there as well, just in case.
Don't worry, David, it's acting a bit weird here me as well. So, yeah, fair away, I think.
Yeah. Sorry, are you finished, Aoife?
Are you finished, Aoife?
Yeah, no, I just wanted just to say that I think that we should write to DERA just to ask about that additional funding and the flexibility around spending it just to get rural areas added to the more rural areas added to the SLAVE play strategy. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Paul, we'll take one more and then you can answer a few questions. Is that all right?
Can't wait.
Okay, I'll say so. All right. Now, sorry about that, David. Now,
no problem, Charles. Maybe an issue in my end of things. My question's relating to a couple of the consolidation proposals. First of all, the Bessbrook one, obviously from, you know, proposal from 4 to 2. And the other is the Spring Hill Shanton Park consolidations as well. It's just in terms of making the decisions on what parks, you know, will come out at the end of that process, how will we establish that, Paul? It's just to try and get more clarification in terms of how we'll actually make the decision as the council in terms of establishing which parks survive, if you want to call it that, because that's the reality of it. And it's to try and make sure that obviously the community is engaged in those decisions. So the Bessbrook one's in my own DA. Shanton Park, Spring Hill, is just outside my DA, but it's where I grew up, it's where some of my family still live, and I obviously have a great interest in the area. And I remember the late Billy McCabe, for instance, with the Shanton Park, you know, player he fought for many years to get that, and, you know, when I was at the opening of it myself as a young fella, and I just, you know, I became to establish how the decision-making process will be established to see which ones actually survive at the end of this, and will this be brought back, obviously, to ourselves for full ratification as well. It's just to try and get some more clarification on those points.
Okay, thanks, David. Paul, we have two more questions here. Do you want to answer them three questions first, Dee, and I'll bring in Andy and Barr then?
No, keep them coming. We'll hear them all.
Okay, no worries. Far away.
Me, is it?
Yeah, it's yourself, aye.
Yeah, just a quick one. I wasn't going to ask a question at all. It was just whenever a couple of the other councillors started talking about the rural areas and the play parks needed in them. You know, this was an issue that was raised at the inception of this particular play park strategy, where some of us that are councillors for rural areas had said, whether the strategy was rural-proofed at all, that you could have a community of a similar size, just not together as much, you know, dispersed over a wider area. And I suppose just to keep that up now that it's been brought up tonight, just to say to Paul and the other officials that whenever it comes a time that all the play parks have been sorted for all the villages and larger settlements and that, just that we take a final swoop round the district, the whole district, all the DEAs, and we try and identify any of those areas that have a large, you know, I would suggest any area that has a primary school in it, that has a football club in it, that's big enough to have to sustain those type of community facilities, that if there's a need for a play park in them, that we won't mess over them, because several of them were overlooked for this particular strategy. So just to give a shout out to the rural communities. Thanks a million.
Okay. Councillor McMurray.
Sorry, Chair. Councillor Andrews was looking back in just before.
Sorry, you want in again?
Sorry, no, I spoke earlier. I should have withdrawn the queue. Sorry about that, Chair. Sorry about that. Thanks.
Not a bother, Terry. Let you off this time.
No problem, cheers.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. No, it's just really sort of following on from some of the other councillors' points, and then I'm also just noticing that, you know, the line in February 2017, council approved the play strategy for 5 years, so I'm sort of conscious that we're now coming, you know, we're now in 2021, which would then 2022 be next year, and that would be my 5 years. So I'm just curious, you know, as to, you know, is this, when will this be opened up properly again, in a sense, to one's other words? I mean, it's, you know, as luck would have it, as soon as I came in to council, the play strategy was essentially, you know, drawn up, and that was great. And then, of course, I got bombarded by places that wanted play parks again, you know what I mean? So I've been sort of patiently biding my time here for the last lot of years. So just sort of wondering, you know, what is the sort of the strategy going to be then? And a bit like Barra too, you know, there are representing somewhat, where we all do represent somewhat rural, you know, areas, but there are sort of rural areas that feel that they got left out. You know, I can think of Seaford being one of them in our district here that, you know, has, and also it's grown quite substantially too in the last number of years since I took on this role. So yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Paul, take it away.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and summarize. I think there's three or four key points, to be honest, within a lot number of those queries. And I suppose some of the queries about additional play parks, in addition to what the current play strategy has done, or what we see additional play parks, maybe more play parks that are actually in the strategy at the moment. So I think the answer to those particular questions is about us reviewing our strategy as we probably get to the end of it and start completing, I suppose, coming to the final, I suppose, year of those projects, is looking at another strategy that will help address maybe some of the points that the members have raised, as opposed to us being able to, as Councillor Finnegan maybe said, seek funding for play parks that aren't currently in the strategy. We do a lot of work with RDP and stuff like that and get opportunity to enhance some of our play parks around rural areas and funding, and where we can seek that and get that, we do. So we'll go back and try to do that. However, if we're looking at additional play parks, I think that'd have to be part of any review of the current play strategy. I'm not sure if Michael wants to add anything to that, but that's probably our position on, I suppose, any additionalities to the play strategy at this stage. In terms of I suppose the concerns around consolidations or around not seeing the appropriate equipment, particularly disabled equipment in play parks, we have an independent, I suppose, process that's a consultation process that is carried out by Playboard. What I would, I suppose, urge elected members is to ensure that that everyone ensures their voices are heard as part of that consultation process, which tends to have been a pretty robust process to date. And I suppose further to what Councillor Taylor suggested, that any, results, if you like, of those consultation process all come back to committee for consideration and approval for commencing. So those consolidation projects particularly will come back in front of this committee for agreement prior to any of that, and the recommendation will be part of that consultation process. I think Michael mentioned that we will write to DERA anyway in relation to additional funding, but also we work very closely with DERA RDP in terms of enhancing some projects that we do have, and we'll certainly hopefully be looking to get what we can from them in terms of that. And I suppose one other thing was about ongoing maybe issues with current play parks, maybe play parks that haven't been upgraded yet or anything like that. That, just to be clear, that our maintenance department is the section that still is responsible for maintaining and repairing a number of our play parks. I suppose we work closely with them in terms of trying to ensure we have continued provision for within our current play parks and that. So I'm hoping that I've covered all the points there, Chair, but I'm happy to clarify anything if I've missed something.
Okay. Councillors, happy enough about that? Or Aoife, Barra, John, happy enough?
Happy enough, Chair.
Okay. Okay, that brings us on to number 13, DERA Climate Bill Consultation Response. That's yourself, Owen.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, members, this is just there's the attached response to the proposals for the Northern Ireland Climate Bill. We're looking for permission to return the attached consultation response. You'll see from the report that we had to submit it by the required date on the proviso that it'll still be subject to council approval. So we did table this at a special meeting, Sustainability and Climate Change Forum, and a number of points were included after that meeting. So we're just looking approval to ratify the attached response.
Okay, that's proposed by Councillor Traynor, second by Councillor McMurray. Okay, it brings us on to number 14, consultation on clean air strategy for the north of Ireland. That's yourself, Owen, again.
Thanks, Chair. Similarly, yes, NIA have published a clean air strategy for Northern Ireland, and we have been consulted on it, and we're looking for permission to approval to submit the attached consultation response again.
Okay. Just need a proposer and seconder, please. Proposed by Barra, second by Councillor Traynor. Too late, Charlie. Okay, brings on to number 15. Memorandum of the understanding in relation to food fraud.
Yes.
Your cell phone.
Yes, thanks, Chair. The National Food Crime Unit has remit within the Food Stamps Agency for serious food-related issues and related criminality. So I suppose it's where it goes outside our normal food safety remit. We've had incidents in the past of food fraud. People might remember that the horse meat, et cetera, that was discovered in this area. So what we're looking for here is just permission that that the approval for the Chief Executive to sign the attached memorandum of understanding. You may notice in it they had been asking for like one signature for the whole of Northern Ireland, but every council is proceeding to have it signed on behalf of ourselves, because any actions or whatever would be taken, we would have to do it ourselves as putting the authority in food. For approval for having the MOU signed.
Okay, I think we've got most of that on, but as proposed by Councillor Casey. Need a seconder, folks. And second by Councillor McMurray. All right, that brings us on to number 16 on the agenda. Consultation on organ donations. That is Owen again.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, there's public consultation on the introduction of the statutory opt-out system for organ donation. Members might notice there were only a few consultation questions that we could answer really on behalf of the organisation. So there's a lot of questions in relation to people's individual religious beliefs or conscience. So we're just looking for approval to return the response with the answers we were able to give in it. So,
okay, that's proposed by Councillor Andrews and second by myself.
Happy to support the recommendations, Chair. I know we spoke previously at council meetings about organ donation, and it is, I think, it's a very important matter, and it's good that the council have dealt with it in this way appropriately. But thanks very much.
Okay. 17, 18, 19, and 20 is for noting, folks, okay? Okay. We've got a question from Councillor Traynor.
Yes, Chair, it's more of a comment in relation to item 17, Policing and Community Safety Partnership. The reports are there, but I suppose it's the link back to what the point that David Taylor had been making at the start of the meeting in relation to Newry and the issues in Newry. And I suppose it's maybe to make members aware here that myself and Councillor Nahannan, both as the respective chairs of the PCSP and the chair for the ASB Down Legacy area, have actually asked for a meeting with the Superintendent, Norman Haslett, in relation to the ongoing issues, both in Newry and in Downpatrick, which have been escalating, I suppose, over a number of weeks. And I'll be extending the invitation as well to the chair of the Newry Legacy ASB subgroup in relation to that meeting, because there are very serious issues, as David has alluded to earlier, and they need to be, I suppose there needs to be a prompt response from the PSNA, especially with regards to certain protocols that would allow for diversionary working from youth service. So that was just by way of maybe an update, Chair, rather than a question.
No problem, John. Thank you. Okay, as I say, in 17, 18, 19, 20 is for noting. 21. This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the schedule of the Local Government Act of the North Ireland 2014.
Is item 20 for discussion or just
item 20? As far as I know, I have it for notes.
I have a query on that just regarding the upgrade.
Am I right in that, Michael? Is that for noting number 20 or is that the You're on mute.
Sorry.
Item 20 is for Newton as well.
Yeah, sorry, Chair, that item's for noting as well, but happy to take questions on it.
Yeah, turn away.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It was just, obviously, you know, welcome anything that can take place, obviously, to try and, you know, eradicate the problems regarding disabled parking, you know, spots been used when they shouldn't be used. You know, I've seen it myself when I've been using the leisure centre over the last year or two. Just one question I have, it mentions about, you know, those that are, you know, parking area will be required to present a blue badge at reception in order to receive a passcode that will allow users to exit the car park. It's just a kind of, you know, how do we police that? You know, somebody could park in it, for instance, beforehand, and then come after they finish their, you know, their session at the leisure centre. And how do we, you know, somebody comes to reception at that stage, you get into an argument with them. You know, I was trying to find, is there any sort of way of I see that it mentions about you're not able to issue penalty notices because, you know, we don't have the authority to do that. But it's just to try and find out how we stop somebody, for instance, parking in the space, them coming in at the end of their session and saying, oh, by the way, I need to get out there, and haven't had a blue badge. You know, is there any way of, you know, any sort of enforcement been undertaken to stop that happening, rather than somebody getting a slap of the wrist and saying, don't do it again, and then it happens again? So it's just to try and find, is there any way, or have you looked at any way of trying to, you know, prevent that problem from happening?
Yeah, good enough question there. Hey, Paul, you want to come in on that, or is that your end, Michael?
No, Chair, I'll probably answer that if that's all right. So, yeah, I suppose you'll note that we've had a number of issues and problems within Neurocentre, particularly disabled car parking, and certainly a number of issues with people not adhering to a number of initiatives that we put in place in terms of that. I mean, from an enforcement point of view, it doesn't sit within the remit of the likes of parking wardens or enforcement officers and those sorts of things. The asking staff to go enforce that is, whilst we've tried that as well, sometimes that's been a concern also. So we have consulted with, I suppose, people that look after the likes of these access control parks, and also looked at other near leisure centres, because this is quite a common problem, not just a problem isolated to Newry or even our district. So, and having consulted with those people, they feel that this is probably one of the better ways to try and address the issue. In saying that, there will be significant signage that will be in the car parks outlining what's required for these, and also there will probably be a bit of an implementation period as well to allow sort of, I suppose, customers getting a wee bit more used to this provision and stuff like that. And I do think we will get people that maybe breach this on occasions. But I suppose the other fact of the matter is it's very clear that if you're going to be going into this area, you'll be going to be parking in a disabled car park spot. The best way to, you know, we need to try and address this issue is to confront it head on, albeit that we'll be certainly trying to implement this in and phase this in slowly. I mean, I don't think we're going to be hardcore against people that might breach initially and at the start, and hopefully people get used to this process. But I suppose our issue is, even when we've approached people in the past about parking in disabled car parks, essentially it's been ignored and continue to breach these issues. So, but we're hoping with the good signage, with the implementation process that we're going to put in place, that it'll hopefully try and address this issue.
Well, Chair, could I maybe make a suggestion? Just, I'm conscious that, you know, and I understand it is difficult, you know, given some of the issues that you've outlined, Paul, but certainly after this work has been undertaken, could we maybe look at reviewing this after 3 to 6 months to see how the new system is working? And if there is any additional measures needed at that stage, that we look at that. But, you know, I'm just conscious that we are spending, you know, money to try and hopefully eradicate this problem, but if it still continues to persist, then we may need to look at whatever other measures we can, you know, possibly do that. So just, you know, I would like to make a proposal that we do carry out a review in between maybe 3 to 6 month period, if that's, you know, if that's an acceptable time period to look at how this new system is working.
No problem. We're happy to put a 6 month review in, maybe, or if one needs to be brought forward sooner, we will. I suppose that'll be all subject to us being allowed to open at some stage. Yep, happy to do that.
Okay. Yep.
All right, David.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay, that brings us on to the financial assistance, number 21. That's yourself, Michael.
Sorry, Chair, we need to go into in committee.
All right. Okay.
Move a proposer and seconder, please.
Councillor Andrews proposing.
Thank you.
Councillor McMurray second. Thank you. Thanks, Linda.
Got the press back in and recording started again, Chair.
Okay. Michael, have you got them details now? How do you want to read them out?
Okay, Chair. I think,
I'm just going to do it now, if that's okay, Chair.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Cheers.
Okay, whilst in closed session, the following items were considered. Item number 21, financial assistance. It was agreed and proposed with Councillor Hurst, seconded by Councillor Murrow, to approve the following. Extension allowances for capital projects 2021-2022 capital projects. Council to cap the extension period for projects to no more than 12 months post letter of offer end date. Existing capital projects. Capital projects for the period 2019-2020 or earlier, which require an extension beyond 31st of March 2021, will be provided with one further 12-month extension. In light of the negative impact on the delivery of projects due to the pandemic, date of charge costs for projects which do not make a finance claim or decommit. Approval for this cost to be paid through the most appropriate cost code. Call 2. Go out to call 2 in line with themes above which are subject to funding. Item number 22, Scheme of Delegation Report. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Murray, to note the officer's report and attachments regarding the Scheme of Delegation for the Director of the Active and Healthy Communities. Item number 23, Feasibility Study for the Council Solar Farm. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Traynor, seconded by Councillor McMurray, to agree to the officers procuring a feasibility study for the development of a solar farm pilot on an identified council land. That was the end of the items, Chair.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, councillors. That's the end of our meeting for tonight. So, have a safe week. Look after yourselves and AOI to you. God bless.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
Chair, I can call that.